Welcome to the fifth lesson of the Rooted and Built Up Discipleship Program of Bible Baptist Church. For many of you taking this course of study, salvation has already been attained by faith in Jesus Christ. However, it is possible that a person listening to these lessons is simply curious about Christianity and only has a desire to know what the Christian believes. And to that person, you may be just like the Queen of Sheba was, who satisfied her curiosity of all that she had heard concerning King Solomon's fame regarding the 10th chapter of the first book of Kings, where she came to prove him with hard questions. She would leave Solomon saying, "I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me." You see, this queen was a skeptic until she had made a personal investigation, and afterwards, she left Israel a true believer. So, it is possible that you may be a skeptic listening to these lessons, or you're possibly holding salvation, you just don't fully have a grasp on its understanding. Therefore, we've got to understand and examine this precious subject of salvation. Turn now with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. This is found in the New Testament. And the Bible used the Apostle Paul to rehearse the fact of Christ's resurrection to the people at the church at Corinth, saying, beginning with verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." Dear Lord, I ask Your wisdom as I do my best to relate the truth of salvation in this lesson. May every listener truly have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto them at this time. Bless these few moments we set aside to discuss so vital a subject as salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The answer to the question, how is a sinner saved, is explained really in just one verse of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, which will serve as our memory verse. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." It is said that most of our unhappiness is caused by not knowing what we should know and by trying to know what we should not know. One preacher even observed this and said, "Our heads are traveling by fast express these days, and our hearts follow by slow freight." Humorous as it is, it's also true. For many people, their desperate need is to unlearn much of what they think they already know. The tragedy is that upon this all-important subject of salvation, some folks only have a mental acceptance of the gospel of Christ without its application being placed upon their heart. How dangerous it is then to journey through our brief lives resting upon a procedure without having an experience. Salvation is a personal matter of the heart believing upon the finished work of Christ from the cross through the grave to the resurrection. Salvation is not achieved by a tiresome prayer, but by a confident belief. Nobody ever fell in love by reading books on how to fall in love, but by casting their affections upon another person personally. the only way to obtain a personal relationship with God is through His only begotten Son, Jesus, and His simple plan of salvation. In this lesson, then, we will answer carefully the plain question, what is salvation? We begin our outline with this point, the Savior of salvation. Savior is defined as one that delivers and preserves, one who's properly applied to only to Jesus Christ the Redeemer, who has opened the way to everlasting salvation by His obedience and death, and is therefore called the Savior by way of distinction, the Savior of men, the Savior of the world, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary. In the first part of this point, the Savior of salvation, we notice letter A. Letter A is entitled, A Savior is required where salvation is needful. If there were no sin in the world, there would be no need for a Savior for the world. But as there is sin and death as a result of sin, so there is the need to be saved from sin's penalty. Romans 3:23 teaches us, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, describing exactly how sin came into creation, the Bible says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 6:23 warns of sin's penalty, saying, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation can be defined as the saving of a sinner from the judgment of sin. Sinners have no ability to save themselves or to forgive their own sins or even the sins of other people. Man who has been born sinful is in need of the new birth, or what the Bible terms as regeneration, which simply means recreation or a renewal. In Titus 3:5, the Bible says, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, if man is a sinner in need of salvation, a Savior is required. Letter B, a Savior is not in need of salvation himself. So we find that Savior is required where salvation is needed, but a Savior must not be in need of the same salvation He's trying to give. It was the mission of Christ Jesus to be sent by God the Father to the earth to seek and to save that which was lost, according to Luke 19:10. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible tells us salvation was the very reason for Christ's birth. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. How effective would a lost man be in assisting other lost men? How trustworthy is the dentist who has rotten teeth, the optometrist who cannot see, or the beautician who wears no makeup, has dirty fingernails, and whose hairstyle is a buzz cut? Thus, the Savior for sinners must be without sin himself, and there's only one without sin, and His name is God. Deuteronomy 32:4 explains this, saying, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. But Jesus Christ declared Himself to be God in the form of man while on the earth. John chapter 12, verse 44 records, And he that seeth me, seeth Him that sent me. In John 14, verses 7 through 10, again Jesus says, If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know Him, and have seen Him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. You see, if Jesus be God, then is Jesus also without sin and qualified to be the Savior for sinners? Jesus asked in John 8:46, Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Apostle Paul taught, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In Hebrews 7:26, the writer says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Peter speaks in 1 Peter 2:22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Hebrews 5:9, the Bible tells us, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." So, regarding a Savior for salvation, a Savior is only required where salvation is needful. A Savior is not in need of salvation himself. And then also we find in letter C, a Savior must be placed in the same jeopardy of those he would save. God viewed the sinfulness of man, and knowing the penalty for sin is death, robed himself in man's flesh. Philippians 2:7 tells us this fact by saying, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Jesus also endured man's temptations, according to Hebrews 4:15, where we find, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are," and notice this, "yet without sin." And Jesus suffered man's penalty of death for sin. For in Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, we see, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He's placed himself in the same jeopardy of those he would choose to save. "He, who is perfect, took upon himself the sins of the guilty and condemned." In 1 Peter 2:24, the Bible testifies, saying, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." See, Christ is chosen to seek and to save that which was lost, and that whosoever could come to him for salvation. But in order to be saved, those sinners, Jesus Christ had to place himself in the same jeopardy of death as is placed the sinner. Letter D, we find a Savior must conquer that which would destroy those he would save. As the sinless Christ in life became the suffering Christ at death, he would also become the Savior Christ with his resurrection. Because Christ lives, though those who believe upon him can live also. In our text, 1 Corinthians 15, we find from verses 13 through 20 this truth. Again, we read, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ raised, not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept." We find in 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You see, Jesus, placing himself in the same jeopardy of sinners, had to conquer that death that would destroy sinners. So, we find in these four thoughts the Savior of salvation. But now we turn next in point number two to the simplicity of salvation. Simplicity is defined as the state of being not complex. That's a good definition. Consisting of few parts is another definition of simplicity. Plainness is a word synonymous with simplicity. Weakness of intellect, freedom from artificial ornament, All of these define simplicity. So, concerning simplicity and salvation, letter A, we find salvation is simply found in Christ alone. Although man has invented many religious systems over the centuries, salvation is not found in man's religion. While God has gifted some men with the capacity for great learning, salvation is not found in education. While man has made countless scientific advancements, salvation is not again found in scientific reasoning. Though man deny the very existence of God, salvation is never found in human denial or in human doubt. God has given man his simple plan of salvation that can only be found in one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, again we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 through 6, Paul says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So concerning salvation's simplicity, we find that there's only one person that holds salvation, one person to whom we can go to attain salvation, and it's in Christ alone. But letter B, salvation is simply based on faith, not works. The two philosophies of man regarding salvation are seen in two words, do or the word done. Man desires to have something to do with his own salvation and thus desires a system of works for his salvation. But those who truly possess so great a salvation are those who by faith accept what Christ has already done. Hebrews 2:3 warns, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? 1 Corinthians 3:11 instructs us that for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Then Jesus is the foundation for salvation, not our works. Salvation would be complicated if it were based on our deeds. For how many works would it take to earn so great a salvation? And if salvation could be earned by works, could it be lost by works? If I did good works to earn and merit salvation, could I lose my salvation by the bad works I've done? Balancing the scales? Thanks be unto God that salvation is based on believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, according to Acts 16:31. But many are the Bible texts to support this claim. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for example, we find again our memory verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Or how about Galatians 2:16? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Also, we could use Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Notice also in 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. Or else believe the words of Christ himself, who said in Matthew 7, verses 22 through 23, to those hearing him that day, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? Those are good works. And in thy name done many wonderful works, they said. And then will I profess unto them, said Jesus, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, all our works are as filthy. They're unrighteous deeds. So we find simplicity of salvation is based in Jesus. It's based on faith and not by works. But then moving on, we find our third point. The third head of our outline is the security we find of salvation. Security is defined by Webster as protection, safety from danger of any kind, freedom from fear, certainty, something given or done to secure peace. The peace in our heart that's come there to stay, there's the security of salvation. We find that the security of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. As He is unchanging and immutable, so our salvation we've obtained by Him is immutable. As long as Christ lives, so shall all those who come to Him for salvation live, for we are in Him. And Hebrews 7:22 tells us, by so much was Jesus made a surety for a better testament. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 we read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Philippians 3:9 again tells us, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, that would be my good works, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, said Paul. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, not what I have believed, whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He, that's Jesus, is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him, my soul, against that day. So we find security for salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But also, letter B, the security of salvation is eternal. As Jesus is eternal, so are we in our salvation. When once we are born again into the family of God, we can never become unborn again. John 1:12 records, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe, that's by faith, on His name. And 2 Corinthians 6:18, the Bible declares, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Since works of men were never responsible for salvation, the works of men will not avail to maintain salvation. There are those that believe. You're saved by faith in Jesus Christ for that salvation, to get the ball rolling, as it were. But to keep the ball rolling, you've got to have good works, which is simply not true according to the Bible. The salvation of every believer is eternally secure in Christ Jesus. The Bible goes to great lengths in proving this truth. For in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we read, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Again in Jude 24, the Bible promises, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Again we find this truth. In Titus 1:2, it gives us in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. John 3:16 so boldly puts it forth, saying, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, listen to this part, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we could go further. John 5:24, for example, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus again said in John 10, verse 28 through 29 Himself, saying, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Ephesians 4:30 can be used also, for it tells us, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So as we conclude with the salvation, the simplicity, the security of salvation, we have to recognize to be saved means that you have acknowledged your guilt of sinning against God, and you placed your faith upon the sacrifice for sins Jesus Christ made upon the cross. And while you still sin in your flesh daily, Christ has forever reconciled your soul unto God. To remain lost means that you have never heard the gospel, the good news, or that you have rejected the good news of Christ's rich salvation. Consider the following carefully. In April 1912, when the enormous ocean liner, Titanic, left the port of England for America, it carried all classes of people. Some passengers were millionaires, some celebrities, some of very moderate means, and others were so poor that they took their journey in the steerage of the ship. However, just a few hours after it sank to the bottom of the North Atlantic chilly waters, a list was placed in the Cunard office of New York that consisted of only two categories, and they were saved and lost. It didn't matter their status aboard Titanic. It mattered whether or not they were saved or drowned and lost. This tragedy had leveled all social distinctions, and hell holds those in the category of being lost. Heaven contains those in the category of being saved. I wonder, do you at this very moment know, without hesitation, without the possibility of doubt, that you are saved and that you are at this moment on your way to heaven when you die? Oh, to have the principles of salvation in your head, but not have the person of salvation in your heart, means you miss heaven eternally. Many, I'm afraid, will in the end miss eternal life with Jesus Christ by only approximately 12 inches, which is about the distance from one's heart to their head. And what is it you have based your salvation upon? If anything but Christ or everything plus Christ is your answer, you are not saved. Salvation comes by faith and by faith in Christ alone. We're not saved by a feeling, to be sure, but it sure feels good to be saved. Father, thank you for making the plan of salvation utterly simple and eternally secure. Use us, we pray, as gospel messengers to tell all the world of so great a salvation as we have in Christ Jesus. I pray that if one of our listeners should be convinced at this moment of their lost condition, that today would be their accepted time of salvation, that they would turn from their sin and their unbelief, that they would turn to you, Savior, and that they would ask you to save their soul. And we will ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.